It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, as always, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, I guess we're forced to talk about Notre Dame football. Who would have, you know, Ed, I would have bet you $100 at the beginning of the season. This would be a bet I would have won. But if I'd have told you that the Cubs would have more postseason wins than Notre Dame at this point in the season, you would have taken that bet all day long.
I probably would have.
We could go all night long just about what's wrong with the program. But I will say this, and I'm curious as to what your take on this is. Remember early on when we did our first show, a couple people piped in on the website about, well, what are you guys saying, 10-2? We should be 12-0. And the response I gave was, look, I mean, college football is a game of inches. I mean, I gave you the example last year of, you know, Alabama and their game against Arkansas on the 4th-and-28 that they ended up converting that. Yeah, that doesn't happen. They got two losses, don't even make the playoffs. Or Notre Dame in the instance of, you know, DeShone Kizer falling on the goal line, which he was short. But anyways, you know, they end up losing to Stanford. You know, if they win that game, you know, heck, they could have probably wouldn't have made the playoffs, but who knows. But anyways, the point is, in the four games that Notre Dame has lost, all four games – they had a shot in the fourth quarter of possibly tying or winning the football game, tying, putting it into overtime, or actually winning the football game. So it's really that close to where they could be 6-0 right now. They're not, and there's a lot of reasons why they're not, but even still, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably what's most disappointing and upsetting to people is I think we thought we're a program in the sense that, you know, it's one thing to lose to a team, let's say, you know, an Alabama, let's say an Ohio State in a bowl game. You know, in other words, we thought we had made progress to the point where maybe there's more talent on the other side of the field and we lose the ball. But these are instances where, you know, we thought we were past these kinds of losses. You know, I mean, we've thought that we sort of had grown the program to the place where if we're going to lose, we're going to lose to, you know, a Clemson, a top five team, a Stanford, a top five team, an Ohio State, a top five team last year. Now, granted, you know, that's a whole nother issue of, you know, Brian Kelly and this program have not broken through and beaten a top five team or won a big, you know, meaningful game. But setting that aside for a second, what we've seen this year is disturbing because, you know, it's kind of mixed messages, right? It's sort of like, well, this team is so inexperienced and all these starters are gone and all these, you know. But at the same time, sort of the mantra of the program is next man in. The mantra of the program is no excuses. The mantra of the program is reloading instead of rebuilding every year. So when you run into a situation like this where obviously – coaching issues, execution issues, passion issues, preparation issues. You know, to me, you end up 2-4 because everybody's doing their job at a substandard level. And, you know, all the way down the line, this is when you're 2-4, it's a program issue. It's not, you know, it's nothing more than that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now, you know, there's been, I just happened to catch this today. And I don't know if you even are aware of this, but one of those talk shows that's filmed on TV, I don't even know who these guys are, but I mean, their voices are somewhat familiar. But in any event, the point is, one of the guys was trying to make the comment about Brian Kelly and was taking some hard shots at him about why they're in trouble and why, from a recruiting standpoint, they're in trouble. And the point he was trying to make is, you know, that Brian Kelly throws his players under the bus. And it was in relation to the game where which, again, I think he's being taken totally out of context, because Brian Kelly's first comments in the press conference were, hey, I screwed up. And he made the point about, you know, having two guys back on the punt block instead of three. You know, they went the rugby style instead of the three-man wall in front of the punter. But the guy's comment was that, you know, Brian Kelly's throwing guys under the bus because the center made a bad snap in a torrential downpour at the end of the game, and now it's his fault. And, you know, I mean, of course, I didn't agree with it at all. I mean, I think it's crap that this guy's trying to make this point. It's just another Notre Dame hater trying to pile on. But, you know, there is – I think you're making a great point. When you are 2-4, there's a hell of a lot of things going wrong. It's not just one or two players that we just don't have, you know, the experience at a couple positions that are hurting us critically. Yeah, there is definitely some major turnover that maybe we didn't anticipate very well. But the kind of guys that we've been recruiting the last 3 years, I mean, these are all solid athletes. These are not guys that – of the Tyrone Willingham days when these guys weren't recruited by anybody that was any decent.
And we haven't played teams that are top 20 teams. I mean, really, you know, the tough part of our schedule is coming up now.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, Virginia Tech is probably better than any team we've played so far. Miami is probably better than any teams we've played so far. Navy is probably better than any team that we've played so far.
I think Stanford is too.
They've stumbled.
They're having some issues, but you know, but yeah, I think that the reality of the matter is you can't look at this and say that there aren't some concerns all across the board. Now, the big, huge question is, how do you respond to this? And
can we talk about your other issue for a second? Because I think, you know, you got to put some of this Brian Kelly stuff, you know, and I've been basically a supporter because I think he had – this is what it's disturbing to me, because I thought that it really had built sort of a program that was not sort of capable of this kind of backsliding. But maybe it's a good lesson, you know, for him and a good lesson for all of us that there's a really thin line between, you know, 2-4 and 5-1. And this is an example of that. And Notre Dame's not going to fire Brian Kelly. People can talk about that stuff all they want. The people, you know, the thing is that if they're 5-1 or 6-0, and he's, you know, ripping Sam Mustafa for a new one on the sidelines, it's barely a footnote to the game. You know, it's just if they win the game, you know, if they're winning, that cures everything. And the fact of the matter is Notre Dame sells papers. Notre Dame is clickbait. They always have been. They always will be. You know, no 2-4 team in the country's coach is getting the kind of, you know, pub that Brian Kelly is. I mean, they're talking about Brian Kelly, and he's actually the one that's going to still have his job at the end of the year, whereas Les Miles has already been fired. Charlie Strong is on his way out. You know, I don't know who else is going to lose their job. I mean, there's a couple others, right? So, it's really kind of a media, you know, sort of creation. And a lot of these guys are really talking out of their, you know, their butts. I mean, they just don't, they're not around the program. They don't sort of understand. They sort of look at they cherry pick their information. But, you know, at the same time, Kelly's a lightning rod because he's a fiery guy. He's done this before. And you don't get the impression that, you know, he's, you know, super popular with players or ex-players. But at the same time, you know, it's about W's and L's. And when you're losing, the long knives come out, and it's very easy to bitch and moan. So
it is. Yeah, and I think the thing that everybody's got to remember is there is a very fine line. And it's the case in college football, which, you know, again, I think leads to the argument as to why is it so popular at the moment. College football is, you know, granted, I mean, you can say what you want about Alabama. I don't want to go down that path because I'm going to say some things that are going to just draw out the haters. But anyways, my point is that there is a very, very thin line when it comes to doing the difference between wins and losses. And all the more reason why the program matters. The program does win football games. And I think Jim Harbaugh is a perfect example of that. I personally don't think they have the talent to beat Ohio State. But you know what? They have the program capability to do it. He has the ability to bring that program to a point that's capable of upsetting Ohio State. Will they do it? I don't think so. Maybe not this year. Maybe they're a year away. But the fact of the matter is he's got the program in a position to potentially pull that off.
Yeah, no, he's a hell of a football coach. And you know, the thing is that I think that there's these key things that happen in a program, and I think that, you know, here's the issue. You know, Jim Harbaugh had a tough decision to make. He lost his defensive coordinator, and he hired a guy, Don Brown, that had success. I don't know what their relationship was prior to him being hired. Maybe they have a history together. But, you know, we'll look back, and a really big program mistake was Brian Kelly hiring Brian Van Gorder. It was just a square peg in a round hole from day one. It wasn't a cultural fit. It wasn't a schematic fit. It wasn't a recruiting fit. And he didn't have either the and the problem is I think that if you're going to blame one thing, you know, on this situation, it lays at the feet of Brian Kelly sort of delegating the defense to Brian Van Gorder and believing that was the solution. And it was just a bad hire. And like any organization, you know, one bad hire can really bring the organization down if it's a key business unit. And,
no, that's right.
You know, and
I think you're dead right. It's unfortunate, but that is absolutely what happened. Now, to Brian Kelly's credit, you know, I think Brian's a loyal guy. I think Brian brought in Van Gorder, gave him every chance he could possibly give him, and it didn't work out. And you could argue he held on a little bit longer than he should have, but
you know, at this level, I think that, you know, I mean, loyalty, I think, is an interesting, you know, it's an interesting, to me, loyalty is kind of like one of those things, kind of like confidence, you know, like I think it's sort of overdone. You know, Lou Holtz changed assistant coaches like he changed, you know, putters and drivers. Nick Saban has proven that, you know, he went way outside the box to bring in Lane Kiffin. Everybody was just shaking their head at that. That's a move that seemed to have worked out okay. You know, Harbaugh went to basically, I don't know if this is true or not. There's a lot of Michigan fans there that out there maybe that know the backstory. But it looked to me like Harbaugh looked around the country and said, what's a defense I really enjoy watching play? What's a defense that I really like? And, you know, he got this guy from BC. You know, I mean, Brian Kelly looked around the country and said, who's a buddy of mine, or who's somebody that I'm familiar with, or who's somebody that I've worked with before? You know, to me, sometimes, you know, the disappointing part about that is, you know, with Mike Sanford, he looked outside the box. But he already had himself and Denbrock. I mean, you know, the coaches on the offensive side of the ball, you know, we're pretty well set. You know, defense was really going to need something. Well, whatever. We can revisit that. But it was a bad hire.
And
I think that's a big part of the 2-4.
It is. I agree with you 100%. I think it is. And, you know, it is what it is. So what do you do? It's unfortunate because I think this was that year that, you know, probably a year away, but certainly was a year where anything could have happened and we could have been in it. And that's what's so frustrating for us, I'm sure, and everybody that's, you know, had to endure where we're at right now. It's that thin line that, you know, we think we should be on the other side of it.
I don't disagree with the people who lay a lot of this 2-4 also at the feet of Brian Kelly, not just for hiring Brian Van Gorder, but for mismanaging Kizer and Zaire in game one, and for, you know, mismanaging
mismanagement in the NC State game. I don't know what you were thinking, but why did they put him in when they did?
Well, this goes back to what we talked about on our last show, which is, you know, I've just never been completely comfortable with the finesse style of football. And it just seems to me that you've got to, you know, I mean, this was no mystery that these conditions were going to exist. And it was really going to be a game where, I mean, it was so evident. I mean, I was there. I mean, it was going to a game where the team that made the least mistakes was going to win. It was just,
exactly.
You know, it was,
that's
and that
exactly
was, right. And if you didn't know that going in, you knew it after 10 minutes. And they completely squandered their time with the wind. They should have basically ran four running plays the entire game, and I think they would have won the game. And if they would have focused on ball security and trying to push NC State off the ball and just run a handful of plays, but run them well. You know, I think that that would have been a better strategy than trying to put the ball in the air 25, 30 times. It was just asking too much of your quarterback, asking too much of your receivers. And it was just really, you know, I think that somebody with Brian Kelly's experience, you know, he's been in foul weather games before. I think maybe his frame of reference was Clemson.
Well, it was Clemson last year. I'm sure that's what it was. It has to be.
Right. I think it was. It's
got to be. I mean, yeah. How else do you explain what he did?
Right. No, exactly.
He's like, wait a minute, man. Deshaun had a hell of a game last year in not so far off. I mean, it wasn't as bad as what it was at NC State, but it wasn't too far off.
I don't think it was comparable. I think the field conditions were 20 times better in Clemson. I think the wind was
wasn't nearly as bad. The wind wasn't gusting at 35.
Right.
No way.
Right.
Yeah. So you're right about that. But there are some quarterbacks who can play well in the rain and others that can't at all. And I don't think the game that we just saw is indicative of Kaiser because those conditions were just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know why they even played the game, to be honest with you. That surprised me. The hurricane was – I mean, look at the conditions of what the LSU-Florida game would have been had they gone ahead with the game, and then look what we played in. And you kind of scratch your head like, what the hell? The hurricane was 100 miles from us, and we're playing the game.
Yeah. But I guess what we're really saying is that, you know, Duke was winnable, Michigan State was winnable, North Carolina State was winnable, Texas was winnable. We weren't out talented. We were out coached. We were out prepared, and we have a huge weakness on the defensive side of the ball, and we continue to get make big mistakes on special teams that really cost us. I mean, it's just strange. Like, some teams just don't win football games, regardless of sort of talent, offensive prowess, whatever. And this just seems to be one of those teams. Like, they just don't know how to win. And some of that's, you know, leadership, you know, in the locker room and on the field from players, right?
Yep.
So, you know, it's just a bad storm of things. And, you know, sometimes when you've got deficiencies in one area, that's when sort of your coaching has to keep things together. And, you know, this is just, I don't know. I've talked to a couple coaches in the last 3 weeks, and they said the same thing. You know, Brian Kelly knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. But he, you know, he just doesn't have his finger on the pulse of this team. And the preparation has obviously been not up to par, and that has led to poor execution. That has led to losses.
And I guess the only other thing that I wanted to get some feedback from you on is, and just to see if you have this sense. But and again, I mean, I know a lot of this hangs on Van Gorder, and it's because of, you know, just the way that he approached that. You know, his whole hang up was scheme, and the problem is, it looked to me like we spend a lot of time in practice working on scheme and not working on fundamentals, not working on breaking down and tackling. I mean, the things that frustrate the hell out of me are how many defensive linemen for us this year have batted down a pass? How many defensive linemen have made a tackle on a scrambling quarterback? How many tackles for losses that we have? How many times do our DBs, when blitzing, make tackles in the backfield? How many times do we break on the ball and bat balls down? I mean, the list just goes on and on. And there has to be an answer for this. It can't be because, well, we just don't have that kind of talent on the side of the defense. We do. That is not the issue. So why is it that we just don't break on the ball? Or break down when guys have when guys do get into the backfield, whether it's a defensive lineman or a quarterback. Why are we flying by a quarterback who makes one single move to juke us, and we're like in left field? There's a reason for that, and you know that to me has been incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, no, I think
watching
games. I think there are a lot of numbers and a lot of metrics that. You know, are important and that don't lie and maybe don't mean anything after a week or after 2 weeks, but after 6 weeks, and you see sort of where this defense is ranked in categories. You know, I mean, I think that it's really mind-boggling. I mean, that we, you know, are, I mean, you know, sackless, that we literally and figuratively on defense, we're sackless.
Right.
And it's really disturbing. I mean, just some other statistics, you know, in terms of the, oh my gosh, this guy got thrown out by 4 miles. What an idiot. Sorry. I mean, Jason Worth, are you kidding me?
I know. What was that?
Jeez.
Well, I don't know. I think we want the Cubs playing the Dodgers, don't we?
Yeah, you know, I don't care. I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for the Dodgers because I've got a buddy who likes the Dodgers, and national fans are just, I'm surprised that the stadium's full. I mean, they're just the biggest bunch of losers in the world. I'm sorry. I just don't see where this is going to go when you have these defensive statistics. It's really like they've got to scratch and start. I mean, they just got to start over.
I think so.
And,
yeah,
you know, I hate to say it, you know, because, you know, I love Todd Light. You know, I love, you know, obviously, you know, Mike Elston, I think, is a good football coach. You know, there's definitely, you know, maybe Greg Hudson knows what he's doing, but there's just something that, you know, from the very first game, and maybe they're in the process of being deprogrammed. I mean, you know, they spent 3 years with Van Gorder, you know, I mean, you know, you can't just sort of flip a switch and suddenly change a whole approach to defense. But, and I think we'll see improvement throughout the rest of the year, but that's only because there's no place to go but better. I mean, they're literally the worst defense in the country. It's certainly a team that, you know, with any team that was ranked preseason top 10, when you think of what they were, you know, the way they've been playing. So.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's leave it there, unfortunately. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with a victory. Tell you what, a victory over Stanford could change things in a big way. Other than us being crazy, I guess the guys in Vegas must be crazy, too, because they've got us within 3 points.
Yeah, I really think Notre Dame's going to win Saturday. I think they're going to play well and win. I really do. I just don't. I mean, you know, when you think about it, we've been through these mini crises with Brian Kelly before.
He has responded. Yeah, there's no doubt. And he's definitely responded.
Yeah, I think that you know, that he's you know, when we, you know, whether it's a season-ending run or whether it's, you know, kind of a good performance after a bad one. I mean, he's had several of these, you know, situations, and I think that you know, from everything that you can tell, I don't, you know. I think part of the problem is that, you know, I think a lot of people in the media really are pretty jaded about a coach's sincerity. And I think sometimes they have reason to be. But I don't know why we should not take his comments for face value, that he likes this team, that he likes to coach this team, that they give good effort, and that they're capable of more, and that he and his coaches have a job of getting them sort of back on track and you know, working harder. So I think that that can easily happen. But the problem is you know, they've got better football teams ahead of them than the ones that they've lost to.
Well, you know, again, going back to the original point when we started the program, that there is that fine line. These guys have fought. I mean, they have been in the game in the fourth quarter, including
Dodgers tied it up.
Did they? There you go. But, you know, including being down 28-7 and coming back and literally having a shot. I mean, I tell you what, that fourth down or third down conversion by Michigan State, there's just the momentum was going with us. I really thought we were going to score if we got the ball back. So, and then you go into overtime and you got the momentum going and you're at home. You think the odds are with us. But, yeah, you know what, you may very well be right about Stanford. I mean, and McCafferty's a little banged up. They're in a down spiral right now, and it could be that this is where we start to turn things around. So let's definitely hope for that. We'll see, I guess. All right, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.